Welcome back to another episode of The MacRumor Show. I am Dan Hartley, as usual. Hartley, good afternoon. How are you doing? Doing well?
I'm doing good. I am trying to resist the urge to download 18.1.
But you... Why?
Because I've heard that it's not the most stable beta. I mean, no betas are stable. But I feel like this is one to maybe wait a little bit longer for.
Well, the good news for you is that is there a whole lot there that you want to rush to upgrade for?
Well, a lot of it's just FOMO. I don't like seeing everyone in the tech community engaging with these features. And I'm a little bit removed from it. But having said that, I think that the best Apple Intelligence features are not in this beta. They will be coming at a later date, things like the revamped version of Siri. And I know Siri is kind of new in this beta. It's got the new animation, and it's got some new capabilities, like the ability to ask questions about how to do stuff on your Apple device, because it's got all of the understanding based on Apple's support documentation, which is interesting. But again, I'm not really going to use that. So it's interesting, I think, to test, or at least this is what I'm trying to tell myself, for a little while longer until I get on board with it. Also, I have to say, it is only available in US English, and I don't really want to change my device to US English. It won't really make much of a difference to me. I mean, I guess it would if I was in another non-English speaking country, but nevertheless, I still kind of don't really want to do that.
You mean you don't want to spell some words slightly differently?
I mean, I do spell those words differently every day for Mac rumors. So I'm very used to it.
Okay, that's right. You do adopt. Yeah, so you might as well just switch and then do it.
I was thinking
that you just couldn't upgrade, but I forgot that you could switch your region if you really wanted to do it. So here we are doing a podcast about Apple Intelligence. I've been using it since it came out, and you could be using it, but you don't want to risk the stability. I mean, I know you have some upcoming things that you need to take care of that you probably want your phone to be tip-top shape, but I don't know. I mean, there are more bugs for sure, but I don't know that it's that bad, or at least for me it hasn't been that bad. We must stress, as we are supposed to stress, this is a developer beta. Apple Intelligence is in the new 18.1 developer beta. It is not in public beta. So if you are a public beta user, you will have to wait later this year until that comes out and is available. But if you are a developer and you have the ability to upgrade, definitely try it, I feel like. So you're right in the sense that a lot of the features that are available right now, because not everything is available yet in terms of Apple Intelligence, and we'll talk about that in a minute, but the ones that are here, I have two thoughts. I agree with your first point in the sense that it's not as useful to me or you or to some of us that are, you know, we don't need the support document help and stuff like that, but I do think it's really nice. And that was some of the things that I tried out. But more importantly, I think some of these features would be better off on different devices, like my Mac. And I'm just not putting this beta on my Mac, my main machine. So I do have it up and running. But like writing tools would be super helpful on my Mac on a daily basis, I feel like. And that's one of the biggest features that you can use right now. It was weird how this also came about, too. You kind of download the beta, and then you have to join a wait list. And then within, like, depending on when you do it and just how things go, you usually get it right away. And it'll start downloading some of the things that it needs to download, and then it'll say, turn on Apple Intelligence. And for those of you out there who have asked many times in the comments of the video that I made about it, yes, you can turn it off. You actually have to turn it on in order for it to be on in the first place. It's not just automatically on. Or at least in the sense of the way this works in beta. I don't know if that's how it's going to be. My guess is probably when it happens later this year. But yeah, I mean, it worked pretty well. On my phone, it did not come in right away. Actually, the next day, it like said it was doing the stuff that was like kind of an indicator that it was going to pop up. Like my Mac and my iPad worked right away. But then it's just got stuck downloading modules or whatever it needed to download for forever. And the next day is when it was officially available for me. So I kind of had the same FOMO as you. Everybody was testing it out on their phones, and I didn't get to do it. And then when I got to it, I was like, yeah, I want to do this more on my Mac anyways. Like writing tools, do you think you're going to be using that a whole lot on your phone as much as you think you would be?
Personally, I don't think I'll be using it a whole lot. However, maybe like emails. I can see a scenario for it with mail.
Yeah.
Where if I just typed out a really basic sentence just to fire off a reply, and I just needed to change the tone of it slightly, or I didn't want to think too much about it because I just want to get the email sent off. I think in that way, it will be useful. Maybe in notes or in other instances, not so much for me on the go. But I will say I'm quite interested in the proofreading and the sort of grammatical checking features, because while I don't think I'm going to use the rewriting features very much, I absolutely will use those. I am interested to try the writing features. I think it's great they're available across the system as well, because you can use them in any app. You don't have to wait for Apple to build an integration or for some developer to integrate an API. This is available anywhere that the keyboard is available. So it should be really useful to a lot of users.
And I wanted to mention also when the whole downloading of the stuff that it needed to download behind the scenes before it was enabled, a lot of the features didn't work right away. Some kind of required a restart. So if you're somebody out there who's like, all right, I might bite the bullet this weekend and I'll upgrade, just know that it takes a little bit of time for those things to kick in. Primarily, I've seen, and I personally didn't get Type to Siri to work for the longest time. Took a few hours, a couple of restarts, and then all of a sudden you double tap the home button and typing to Siri works really well. And then in the writing tools, the four things at the bottom there, like the summary and the point, like none of those worked for me for a while. And then it just kind of randomly kicked in and everything works really well now. So it just takes a bit of time for your phone. Sorry, I'm going to have that problem. So we just got some new mics, or I just got some new mics. Hartley will get a new mic here, and I will try my best to not accidentally touch the top of this microphone, because that actually mutes it. But hey, shout out to Shure for sending us some new microphones and mic stands. Huge thank you. I'm really liking it so far. I just need to remember not to touch the top of this, or I'm going to go and mute myself. So hopefully I didn't mute myself there in something important. Can you guess the one thing that I really enjoy right now with Apple Intelligence?
That's difficult. Could it be photos?
No. Something mail summaries? Really? Yes. And text summaries. The summarization of mail and messages is fantastic, especially if you're in an incredibly active group chat. I mean, I look at the first notification at the top, and you'll see the little summary icon. And it just gives me like two sentences of what 40 text messages were. And I'm like, that's great. And then you can decide whether you feel like you need to go back and read them all or not. And with mail, super helpful. You know, tons of mail come in, tons of image-based newsletters. And I mean, maybe it might be interesting to you, but if you don't want to look through and scroll through all of it, just look at the summaries. And then not only in the notifications do you get those summaries, but you also get it in, specifically with mail, you get it in the inbox list. So that's also pretty helpful. It's not for every piece of email, but most of it works. That's been my favorite, like, pleasant surprise thing that I'm like, oh, this is really nice. And every so often you'll see a priority notification in the inbox list of like a priority email. It's only happened to me with UPS shipment notification emails. I don't know that I would classify those as priority. So I cannot wait for like the rest of the mail.
I mean, I guess upgrade compared to a newsletter, it sort of is, because it does affect something you're doing.
Sure. I mean, I'm happy that it's like at least working. And I just, you can tailor that later, I'm guessing. I believe they said you could do that. Or at least categorize things a little bit better. That part of the mail update is not there yet. I don't know why. Do you know why that's not there yet?
I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of features not included in this beta, so yeah. I assume that they are focusing on it's a fairly generous set of features in this initial beta, but yeah. there is a lot that is not included. So I guess they want to perfect these ones, and with each subsequent beta, I can imagine that we will see more and more added. I mean, even when iOS 18.1 is released, it is still not going to have all of the Apple Intelligence features. Some of those will be rolling out even into next year. Apple was quite open about this at WWDC when they previewed Apple Intelligence, that this would be a gradual process. And we believe that certain things like the revamped version of Siri may not arrive until the spring. And of course, there's things like ChatGPT integration as well. That is not available in this beta, and that is something that can come at a later date.
When you said revamp Siri, what do you mean? Like the contextual awareness, like or the more personal based?
Siri being aware of what is on the screen, so you can inquiry about what you're actually looking at, and also your personal context. So that was some of the more impressive demos that we saw that Apple showed off earlier this year. So things like Siri's ability to check messages, check notes, check mail, and combine all of this information to provide you with a context for your flight or your itinerary and calendar. And that is not currently available. And also for Siri to take actions using app intents, which is effectively what Shortcuts currently is. And that means that Siri will be able to take more actions within apps. So you would be able to look at something on screen and instruct Siri to do something. So you could be in a playlist in Apple Music and say, add this song to this playlist, and Siri will understand what you're referring to and be able to take that action.
Yeah, I just wanted to be clear on that, because it does, you do get still a pretty decent amount of Siri features and you still get the new look. So I feel like people might be confused when they're like, well, what do you mean? I see the new glow around the edges. We got type to Siri. You do get some of the context requests. Like one of the demos that I asked was, you know, what was the weather where I'm at? But then I followed up immediately by just saying, what's the humidity? And it knew that I was talking about the city that I originally asked for. And I just, you know, those are little things, but it's not the full contextual awareness that you, and like just the personal stuff that it knows about you. That stuff's not there yet. You can stumble over your words though, and it does work really well. I've done that like a couple of times, even just on accident, not even trying to do it, and it works really well, which is nice.
I also think that the other thing that I've taken away from watching some demos of this, like in your video that you made that went over these initial features, is just how nice the animations are.
Yeah,
for Apple Intelligence, it just looks so good. And I know that there's the new Siri animation where the border around the display illuminates.
It is not really just nice.
Even in photos, when you're making a new kind of custom memory.
I mean, what an animation that is. I'm sorry. Look at that. Just it bursts and then it glows. Like,
and with Type-to-Siri as well, the keyboard looks great. And wherever I've seen Apple Intelligence implemented, even with the text tools and the way that the text glows and it kind of shoots up the screen, it looks really, really nice. And it makes Apple Intelligence more satisfying to use.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of users will be encouraged by this, because it almost makes it more fun and engaging. And you compare that to a lot of other artificial intelligence tools. I mean, ChatGPT is not a pleasant tool to use. It does not look good. And if you were ever trying to use it for work, for any purpose, or to get something done, or to draft an email, say, you've got to copy and paste it. And it is not a very slick experience. But I feel like, although we have criticized, and the industry as a whole has criticized Apple for being quite far behind in the race to provide artificial intelligence tools, the one thing that I think we always knew Apple would do really well is the visual presentation of AI. And that is really important, because it makes it so much more engaging. But also, if something is animated well, it will serve the purpose of you comprehending what is going on better. Because there is a big difference between text just typing itself out, as it does with something like ChatGPT, and actually seeing it glow and move as though it is an active thing, because it's not being typed per se in a way that we would type text on a display. It is not a human doing that. So it makes sense that the animation should be different. And the same goes for, even like I say in Photos, with the memory maker. That is not a normal memory. That is an AI-generated memory that is generating from your prompt. So it makes sense that even that should be presented differently as well. So I've just enjoyed seeing these animations, and I will be interested to see more of them when we get Image Playground and Genmoji, Image Wand, and some of these other features that where there will inevitably be some other very pleasing animations.
I will say, when you, so I'm going through it right now on my phone here, I'm rewriting an entire like old script to make it more professional. It's the option I picked, right? And it rewrites it, but it doesn't do as good of a job of explaining to you what exactly it did. Like, and that's kind of frustrating. Like, if it already did it and it inserted everything, but like, what did it change? I don't like, it's not super obvious what it changed. At least with this specific thing, like, you can go back to the original, you can have it retry it. I don't love that. I'm gonna be honest with you. Like, you don't see the changes that are happening. With Proofread, it does automatically make the changes, but you can at least go through one by one and select, you know, and see what it did. And then you can go ahead and revert back to the original on that if you want to. So I kind of wish there was a different way of handling that, unless I'm just using it wrong. Again, it's still early and I could be using it wrong, but
also it's not the final version of that. And there may well be in the next beta or in 6 months' time, a more detailed UI that provides you with the ability to flip back and forth, or it's highlighted in a different way or something.
I don't remember if they even showcased it like that, to be honest with you. Do you recall that? I don't think so.
Not specifically, but even what they do show off changes. And by the time Apple Intelligence has been released in full, which should be next year, that will have been, what, 9 months after it was first unveiled, and possibly 10 months after those sequences were compiled. A lot can change in that time.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. And that's, it wasn't a criticism. I mean, it kind of is. Like, I think there is a better way. I don't know how or what the better way is. I just feel like there should be some sort of like clarity on what exactly it changed, because, you know, maybe I don't want it to redo. I mean, you can select that, but maybe I don't want it to redo everything in the article per se, but I like want to go back and change some of the things back to what it was, but keep the rest of it. Like, I don't know. I just feel like there's ways to go about it. But yeah, it does work really well, which is surprising.
Have you tried the reduce interruptions focus?
Yes. Not.
What is that like?
For an incredibly long period of time. But honestly, I don't really know how to describe it. It gives me just like what it thinks are priority notifications, basically.
And have you found those to be accurate largely?
Yeah. Like, I feel like it knows who I interact with the most. Like, obviously, my wife gets through when she sends something. But like I said, I'll be honest, I haven't used it a whole lot. And I need to use the, you know, maybe I'll do it right now. We'll see. I'll go to the reduce interruptions and we'll check back during the course of this episode and see what the notifications are. But there's also that other focus mode one, the intelligent breakthrough. I have not used that. I just showcased it in the video. I don't use a lot of focus modes, but that is one that I would really like to see how well that works. What about you?
I'm particularly interested in the focus modes because I think that focus modes have a lot of potential, but they require so much setup, and your needs change.
Yeah.
And ultimately, you may want to have, so for example, for me, I may want to have a work focus. I may want to have a focus for podcasting. I will need a sleep focus, a fitness focus. There's also the mindfulness focus. What if I want to have a reading focus? The list goes on what if I want to have like an evening focus so that less comes through when I'm winding down to go to bed?
Yeah.
I don't really want to configure all of those with which people can come through in which instances and which apps can deliver notifications. So I think that if Apple Intelligence can be contextually aware that at this time of day, I am more likely to accept this notification or pick this up, and it will let that through automatically. That is a far more organic way of using this, because I think a lot of people like the idea of focus modes, but how many people actually take the time to configure them? And even if you do configure them, how dependable are they in terms of how your own routines change? So do you actually then remember to go up into your Mac menu bar and regularly change your focus modes? I think this is the direction for focus modes. I think this is a far better direction. It's just a question of how good it is and how much context it takes into account. So will it understand, for example, in reduced interruptions based on my calendar that we are currently recording a podcast and therefore I don't want to have almost any interruptions at this time?
I don't think it's going to be that. I don't think it's going to be that good.
But long term, you know, fast forward to iOS 19.
Yeah.
I think that this is where focus mode should go, because
I agree.
I think it was the best thing that Apple showed off with Apple Intelligence is the ability to understand all of this personal context. Well, if you understand my personal context of what I am doing at this time of day, you know my location, you can see my calendar, you can see my reminders, you can see in my mail inbox if there's anything going on as well. If I've got tickets to something or I've made a purchase with a contactless payment in Apple Wallet where I'm not at home. You should be able to work out what I am doing. And if you can work out what I am doing at that time, you can work out who should be let through in that focus mode.
Yeah. I think it would be great if it could, like you said, just be smart enough to set up these focus modes for you automatically. And then if you want to go back in and tailor some of it, you can do that. Like, think about how great it would be if it realized, oh, you've got a flight coming up and you're going to be traveling, so let me put all of your travel apps to the forefront. I know you use Lyft and Uber and Google Maps or Apple Maps, whatever the case is, and Flighty, and you know, put all of that stuff up to the forefront. And then when you get to your destination, maybe it keeps some of those apps, but I don't know. It's up to Apple Intelligence to figure out, okay, well, when he's traveling, is he traveling for work? Like, I don't know how it's going to figure that out, but it would be really cool if it could and just kind of do things for me so I don't have to do it anymore.
I actually think that long term, this is where the home screen is going to go. I don't think we are ever going to get a full home screen redesign. But what I can see is a stepping up of this technology, which actually has been around for a very long time. Because going back years now, if you went to Spotlight on the iPhone, you would be presented with four, or in slightly more recent years, you can expand it to eight apps that it thinks you want at that time. And generally, it's not bad. And then with the introduction of widgets on the home screen, there was a widget, which is just a grid of eight apps, which you can add to your home screen. And that is just intelligently decided what you want at what time of day. In my experience, it's okay. I don't actually currently have it on my home screen, so it's not that good. But when I have used it from time to time, I've been fairly impressed. Now, I wouldn't want to use something like this for my entire home screen, because it would bug me that the stuff was jumping around way too much. So if I'm used to my podcasts app being in the bottom right-hand corner, it would bug me if that is flying around all over the screen. So where I think this goes eventually is an understanding that maybe I don't listen to podcasts in the evening. Maybe I listen to audiobooks. So you switch the location of the podcasts app icon for the books app icon. And so where I am used to that app being makes sense in the context of what I want at that time of day. And I think there is a way for the home screen to work in a more intelligent manner that is not just surfacing random apps we think you may want in a random order, but also understanding that a key part of what makes the home screen useful and the reason it has stuck around in the way that it works for so long is because we remember where the icons are. I don't know if you could remember them off the top of your head if I said to you now, what order are your apps in? But you probably would know. You could almost do it with your eyes closed and navigate to an app on your home screen. So it is important where stuff is located, and certain apps you do use at certain times of day. Like, you may not want to have your social media apps distracting you during the working day and have that replaced with work apps in those locations. I like this idea, and I like the fact that this is kind of where I think Apple Intelligence is going, and why I think it's more exciting when we take a longer term view here.
Yeah,
it should do, though, because this was the thing that they really stressed, was the personal nature of it.
Yeah, I mean, you can, and again, I think people are going to be like frustrated. Not everything that you just said you can do, but you can kind of do most of this stuff already with focus modes. It just, like we said, takes way too long to set up all of this individual focus modes. And even then, it's still not going to be doing everything that we just mentioned. So I do really hope it gets to that point, because that would be great. It would be a whole new, entirely new way to use your phone, and or maybe less of your phone, which is great. Like, we were just talking about it before we jumped on. Like, I need a better nighttime routine. If my phone could be like, yo, dude, you do not need to be looking at Twitter or X, whatever, before bed, which no one should, but if we catch you doing that, we're just gonna turn that off, you know, or we're just gonna remove it so that it's not on your home screen, and we're gonna make it a little bit harder for you to get to that, to the point where maybe you're just gonna put your phone down and actually get some good sleep. Real quick check in on reduced notifications focus mode here. It got my wife. It said maybe important, but I love. Oh, you can't really. There we go. Hold on, ready? See the glow? Isn't that just so cool? It's really Apple sheepish of us. I get it, but it's just, the glow is so cool. I don't understand why.
The details matter. We love the details.
We do. Like the little pressing of the little the up and down of the volume button. You see the little indent like that. Whoever made that probably just did it as like, oh, that was cool. Like I discovered that I could do that. I like it. That's cool. Let's see if it sneaks in there. And you know, someone that's just like kicking back, being like, "What? I just made a really cool feature that people are talking about that is so not important, but it just is important in the grand scheme of like how this phone separates itself, the operating system separates itself from something like Android." And I will say, a lot of the comments that I've gotten on the video were, like, besides people who just don't trust it or think that this is all based through ChatGPT, I feel like we need to like clarify a few things. We need to run through the whole hardware specifics. People are angry that this is only on an iPhone 15 Pro and Pro Max right now, or any M1 device. And some people have said that their, iPhone 14 Pro and Pro Max is probably faster and better than some of the earlier M1 chips, devices that can accept this, and they're confused as to why they can't use it. So we need to.
So memory is a big part of this.
Okay. And that's what we've said.
The reason why the iPhone 15 Pro and 15 Pro Max can run Apple Intelligence, but the, or one of the reasons I should say, and the standard iPhone 15s can't, is because they have different amounts of memory.
Mm-hmm.
All of the M series Max have at least 8 gigabytes of memory.
Yeah.
And the same for all of the M series iPads. So if you've got less than 8 gigabytes of memory, which, if I'm correct, the iPhone 15 and 15 Plus have only 6 gigabytes of memory.
Yep.
So that is a consistent rule.
But people's or their comments, their follow-ups to that are, really, is 2 gigs making that much of a difference? And I've seen people who have done like studies and tests that showcase like how your RAM and what's like the operations that are happening on your phone during the time that you're processing requests. Like, a lot of RAM is being taken up. And so if you're taking up, 6 gigs of RAM for every, super intense Apple Intelligence request, well, you still have 2 gigs left to kind of do some of the other things, to where your phone's not going to completely freak out, start to lose its memory, and crash on you, and then you have to do it all over again. Whereas, go ahead.
Well, also, I feel like, the more I think about it, when you bought that device, Apple Intelligence was not a thing. Right. So you did not buy that expecting to receive Apple Intelligence.
No, but their comments, and listen, I can go both ways. I really can. I can defend Apple until I'm blue in the face with this because I understand how, you know, the hardware limitations will work. But also I kind of see other people's points. Like, dude, this phone here can do all of the same, for the most part, some of the same AI features. And, you know, they also, Samsung, trickled down to last year's lineup and some of the other devices. It didn't happen right away, but it did trickle down. And so do you think Apple will do that eventually, where they can figure out a way to get that and trickle down to some of the older devices? Or is it from here on out? I already know the answer to this, but I want other people to hear it from you.
Yeah. I don't think that that would serve any purpose, because let's also not forget that Apple is a business and they want to sell new iPhones.
I know.
If you have bought the standard iPhone, so you have not paid more for a Pro model, why should you receive features that are coming out 18 months after that standard device came out, when there is actually a clear rule for the specifications? What would be a little bit more strange is if it was not available on certain iPad models that also have 8 gigabytes of memory, or you could point out an inconsistency in the logic here, but there is no inconsistency.
They said that basically in a roundabout way.
It is a consistent rule, but also, by the time Apple Intelligence is out properly and in full early next year, the iPhone lineup will look completely different. I mean, these devices that we're currently using, the iPhone 15 and iPhone 15 Pro Max, they will have been discontinued, and yet they will support Apple Intelligence. So we have to put this also in the context of when these devices come out, when Apple Intelligence comes out, because when it does, in iOS 18.1, iOS 18.1 will be available after the iPhone 16 lineup comes out. So this is some time away, and you can't expect Apple to indefinitely give all features to older devices. And even if there is, even if it is a sort of cynical argument, and it is just, well, they could if they wanted to. Well, they could, but they need the money to make a new iPhone every year. So if we want them to bring out a new iPhone every year, we need to buy a new iPhone every year or every few years, or have a reason to upgrade in some sort of cycle. But if all features, if Apple's entire focus is bringing everything to older devices, especially when it's a major new thing like Apple Intelligence, and they know that that will drive upgrades, why would they do that? They have no obligation to do that. And I actually think that, I believe that when Apple brings out the iPhone SE 4 early next year, that will support Apple Intelligence. That is my belief. And that will be a low-cost device at $500, less than $500. So I don't think that Apple is being mean about this. I actually think it's pretty fair. Everyone will agree.
I'm just saying, I agree with you. I understand it. A lot of people's arguments were saying that they want you to just simply upgrade to a new iPhone, which is what you just admitted, and Apple won't admit that, but that's part of the reason. They'll also tell you that the experience is probably not going to be the same given, you know, what we just mentioned, the memory limitations. I'm just saying, I'm looking at Samsung's website and Galaxy AI, mind you, can do a lot of the same features. Image Playground is basically the same thing. I forget what they call theirs, but it's on here and it works. They're offering the ability to rewrite whole, you know, summarize, all of those things are there. A lot of the major features, and it goes from the Galaxy S24 and S24 Plus, S23 Ultra, S23 and S23 Plus, the S23 FE, which is a budget device, and the S22 and 22 Plus. I mean, they're going down a few generations of phones. I'm just saying, like, is there no other company out here in the smartphone landscape in the U.S. that would like to sell more phones than Samsung? I mean, especially when you put them up against...
But Apple has the privilege here of being able to do what it wants.
Yes, and exactly.
If Apple... Let's just run this hypothetical. So if Apple brings Apple Intelligence to older devices, knowing that it won't run properly, then what you will have from your iPhone 14 users is people saying, oh, well, it doesn't run properly. Oh, it's so buggy, the software. Oh, it's so slow. It's made my phone so slow. Apple slows down my device every year. Why have they given me this update? It just slows everything down. And it would cause reputational damage. So why would they do that? The reputation needs to be good, especially for Apple Intelligence. This will be the way that a lot of people who are not in the tech community, let's remember the vast majority of people, will engage with AI on a daily basis in their own lives. This is important, that this is a good experience for not only Apple, but for the industry as a whole. So I don't know how Samsung's entry-level device is going to run their version of Image Playground.
Well, let me just preface before we get any for. I don't know what. There's a whole list. I'm sure not all the features are available. I'm just trying to play devil's advocate in the sense of, like, at least Samsung's advertising that they're at least trying not to leave anyone out by bringing Galaxy AI to these devices. And those were just the S series, by the way. They are bringing the Z series from the Flip 6 all the way down to the Flip 4. It's on smartwatches and tablets and buds and, you know, not every feature, obviously. But yeah, so just I'm just saying I'm not I don't really have a horse in this race. I don't really care. But I can understand why some people would be pretty frustrated. That's all.
I think it's more frustrating for iPhone 15 users. 15,
right. And honestly, 14 Pro Max, because there's really not that much of a difference, in my opinion, from performance standpoint on a daily basis between the 14 Pro Max and the 15 Pro Max. Do you think?
Yes, but performance is not all the same. So just because sure. you don't have an issue opening an app on your iPhone 14 Pro Max does not mean that it is going to be capable of running on-device large language models that have been developed. I mean, when did the iPhone 14 Pro come out? That was in 2022. So by the time Apple Intelligence is fully available, we are going to be in early 2025. And you are asking for a device that was built, developed in 21, early 22, to support something that comes out in 25.
You know they've developed with these older devices in mind as well. I mean, they didn't just start this last year and had an iPhone 15 Pro Max to go with it. So I'm sure they've tested it, and I'm sure it could work. I just feel like at least one. I mean, listen, like you said, it's not going to come out, and it will be the 15 Pro Max, and we'll already have the 16 Pro Max. So it basically will be trickled down to older devices, kind of in a way. Because it's not necessarily
meant to be. And
it is
with the iPad. If you have an M1 iPad from 2021, that will support it. If you have an M1 Mac from 2020, by the time it's fully released, that will have been 5 years ago, that will support it. So we can't say that Apple's being stingy here about what devices they're bringing it to.
That's the argument that you can use to kind of shut the door. But again, just... if I had to go and throw in another counterpoint, people were saying that they want the sales of iPhones have not been great. And so saving it for the iPhone, which most people, you know, would want to upgrade and use some of these features on, would be kind of the better option, as opposed to, like, not everyone's upgrading an iPad every year. So, but you're looking at more of a reason to upgrade.
Anyone that says that, they know that the iPhone is the least powerful of that selection of devices.
Sure.
So it's not like we're saying, oh, well, it comes to all iPhones, it comes to all iPads, but it doesn't come to M1, M2, or M3 Max. Well, I guess there aren't any M4 Max, but you get my point. That
this whole thing can get convoluted. Like I said, I'm right in the middle. I can see both arguments. This is a great talking point. Keep it civil, but would love to hear from everyone else out there, like, which side you're on per se, and not a me and Hartley side. We're not, it's more of a Apple versus the people who are pissed off that they bought an iPhone 15 and are not getting features. But again, like you said, the pro features are pro features. So
I'm not saying it's not disappointing. I'm sure if I was an iPhone 15 Plus user and I bought it on launch day and I was very excited for it and I'd saved up the money to buy that device and I was looking forward to receiving iOS 18, I would be disappointed. But just because you're disappointed doesn't mean that the company should do something different for you personally.
No, of course not. But here's the thing. You still need to cater to the customers in some way, shape, or form. And you're going to lose. I don't think Apple's too big to this point to fail in most regards, where I don't think it's going to matter. But like, just from a you personal standpoint, you bought an iPhone 15, right? You're loving it. It's a great, we've talked about it, how it's a great phone to buy, and that it seems like a pretty solid upgrade depending on what you came from. Looking at the iPhone 15 to the rumors of the iPhone 16, we can pretty much agree that there's not a whole lot there that, like, I would be like, yeah, you should run out and upgrade 1 year later, except for Apple Intelligence now. Is that enough for you to want to do that?
But then we get into the thing of, well, if you are the sort of power user, the someone that is a tech enthusiast and passionate about AI, why have you bought basically an entry-level device? And then you're having a tantrum because your entry level device is not getting effectively a pro feature. If they'd called this like pro AI or something like that, then you wouldn't be saying that. So
fair point. But I think Genmoji is one of those features that will explode with younger people out there who. I just feel like that's going to be the next, you know, the next big thing in expressing yourself with visual images. Like, I don't know if Bitmoji ever took off, but like, I felt like that did pretty well for a little bit. Like, I feel like it's going to be in that sense of like, people are really going to start creating, and especially Image Playground and like images of yourself. Like, I feel like that's going to be a huge thing with some of the younger audience out there. And I feel like some of the other people do not want to be left out. FOMO, like you said yourself. So, and that's not a power user feature. I feel like that is a specific feature that is catered towards the everyday person who is sending countless Snapchats and messages and wants to add a little more spice to it.
If it comes down to it needs 8 gigabytes of RAM, it just needs it.
For Genmoji? Like,
but to receive... Otherwise, it's going to get confusing, because if we had to have, if at Mac Rumors today, I'd been working on a table or something of, well, this device can run this specific Apple Intelligence feature, but you won't get like Memory Maker on this one model, but you won't get priority notifications on this one, but maybe you can use this one, but don't do this at the same time on that device. It would be ridiculous. So you've got to draw a line in the sand somewhere.
I agree with you. I agree with you. I'm just trying to stick up for, or at least bring you the other arguments that people are saying. That's all.
I sympathize with those people.
No,
I
you
really
don't.
Do.
No,
I think,
you don't. No,
I think
you don't.
If you,
no,
I think
you don't.
It must be disappointing. However, you cannot complain if there is a consistent rule and there is clear logic here. You know, Apple's done some weird stuff before with this. Like, I've not given Apple an easy ride with stuff like Stage Manager, and where it was really inconsistent which iPad models that came to and it didn't make sense. Sometimes Apple does stuff like that, and it is quite hard to defend.
And actually, that's a good point for those who are on the other side, in which case, for the sake of the simulation, is me. Did they not make that an M-powered chip feature at first? And then was like, ha, just kidding. It'll also work on these ones too. But at first, they were very clear. Like, in line in the sand, it needs an M chip. It needs it. And it's not going to work.
Yes.
And then they're like,
However,
I was kidding. We can do it on the other ones, though. It'll work fine.
I think we can all agree that basic window management, which has been around since, what, the late 1980s, is quite easy for devices to run. But first of their kind LLMs that have basically only come out over the last 18 months, one of those is clearly quite resource intensive and the other is not. Mm-hmm. So even there is a difference. But my point is, I'm not saying that's always acceptable. There have been other instances where Apple's done this stuff where I've thought it's ridiculous, like when the iPhone 6S got live photos, but the iPhone 6 did not get live photos. And there is no reason why the iPhone 6 could not have had that feature.
And
sometimes
I think
they've done it with no reason.
And I think most people, and like you said, I think most people have looked at a lot of the subset of features and have said there is no reason why X feature would work and this one doesn't. But like you said, it would be entirely too confusing to just be like, well, you're only going to get these features from Apple Intelligence and not these ones. So maybe it would have been better for Apple to just been like, these work on iOS 18, perhaps. They could have just been standard iOS 18 features and not Apple Intelligence.
But then iOS 18 is supported way back.
You don't think some of those things could work? Proofread?
But then it's a question of what things. I mean, I'm sure that ChatGPT integration could work great on iOS 18 devices.
That's not going to matter because it's not on your device.
It is a question of making things easy for ordinary users. And because you are the sort of person that is watching a tech podcast and you are interested in Apple Intelligence, you're of that disposition. But if, for example, you are maybe, maybe you don't even have a Mac, you just have like an iPad and an iPhone and you just use them for very simple purposes. And then, I don't know, your grandson says to you, oh, there's all these new AI features. And then you don't have some of them for some reason and you're being told to use some of them, but that's not available on the iPhone 11. But then your grandkid that's got an iPhone 12 has a different array of Apple Intelligence features. Is that because something's not working or is something broken? Or that is not how Apple does things. That is why there is a cutoff with new iOS updates. And effectively, Apple Intelligence is something separate to iOS. I know that it is integrally built in, but we have to see that Apple, for the very first time here, has released a 0.1 beta alongside the main update, because Apple Intelligence is effectively its own thing.
Yeah.
That means that if you want to imagine it, that this is, Apple Intelligence version 1, and version 1 of Apple Intelligence is only available on certain devices because it's almost like its own OS, if you think about it in those terms, then that wouldn't seem anywhere near as weird. But it's because you're just thinking of it as, oh, well, this is an iOS 18 feature, which they're keeping from me. But they're not.
For those of you who have made it this far, for the sake of the show, I was playing the role of someone who doesn't understand why Apple would do this.
I'll get the negative comments, Dan.
I'll get the ones, because there's a difference between the people who watch my videos compared to those who are watching the podcast. If you're watching the podcast, like you said, you understand most of this for the most part. And you are probably on your specific side because you're like, I bought an iPhone. Like, you're more of a tech enthusiast. But a lot of the people that watch the video, those came from all sorts of places on YouTube. Some were hardcore subscribers. They probably get it. But then that video gets pushed out to the everyday person who is like, what is this Apple Intelligence I keep hearing about? And I want to see what it looks like. They don't quite understand maybe why. And so I was playing the role of them. But I do want to clarify that Hartley shouldn't get, if he is going to get any back, I am right there with you in the sense that I agree with you on everything you're saying.
Disagree with me.
No, disagree, though. That's the thing. There needs to be a clear line in the sand of this is where it works for and this is why. And if you don't like it, then upgrade. Just upgrade. And that's happened so many times. And it's blunt. And
it's happened for worse reasons than this as well,
yes,
I think.
Yes. And I think, but I do think, though, personally, that not getting like Genmoji and some of the fun, playful things, and the new version of Siri is really going to hurt a lot of those people who maybe just bought a new phone that's not compatible, and they would like those new things. So if you're out there and you're like, dude, I just bought a new iPhone 14 Pro Max secondhand, and I got a great deal on it, it's still a great phone, you're absolutely right. But I'd implore you, and even with the 15, I'd implore you to look at a 16 or a 16 Pro, because some of those features are going to be, if they work the way they're supposed to and they get better and better, those are going to be hard to just not have. I'm going to be honest. I think I would have FOMO for sure.
Speaking of Genmoji, you know what this reminds me of a little bit? And that's why I don't know if Genmoji is actually going to be that popular. But it reminds me of when people complained for similar reasons, although under slightly different circumstances. In 2017, people who bought an iPhone 8 said, oh, well, I want Animoji.
True. I just don't think I'm still going to stand my ground. I don't know why. I just think Genmoji is going to be a really popular feature amongst, younger generations. And then old people will do it and then it won't be cool anymore. But I just that's how it always works, right? Look at Facebook. Anyways, I think, and by the way, I am getting close to being the old person who's going to do it and ruins it for everyone, and that makes me really sad and depressed. But I think because there is so much customization. No, I wanted to say like customization. We'll go with that. Because there's so much customization with it, I think that that's a little different. Animoji, you really couldn't do much to. I mean, you could create your own Memoji, and people do really use that a lot. I think if that came out first, that might be a little bit different with Animoji. Then I feel like if you can like tailor the animals or create your own animal, like something, you know, add a little more personality to it. But like with these, you're literally coming up with the prompt of quite possibly anything. I don't know. We haven't tested it out yet.
But what if that's running on device?
What do you mean?
I think that is actually like a fairly processor intense thing. I mean, sure. Right now, if you go and generate something with ChatGPT, that's not generating it on your device. That is being sent to the cloud.
I understand how the hardware portion of that works. I'm just saying that stinks, because I feel like those are the types of power user hardcore features for buying a pro phone that the everyday person would probably want to use, especially the new Siri.
And in due course, when they have time to upgrade, they can buy the iPhone SE 4, they can buy the iPhone 16, they can buy the iPhone 16 Plus, and soon enough they will be able to buy the iPhone 17 as well. So plenty of not pro devices that are available for not pro users to buy and use Genmoji with.
Just another update on the reduce notifications or reduce interruptions. It's still just my wife's text, nothing else. Everything else, YouTube, that's not good. My fantasy football app, my laundry machine. Those are the things that were put in the not important stuff, which I guess is probably pretty accurate. All right. Well, would love to hear from you all in the comments down below about everything. It'll be interesting to see people's thoughts. That's for sure. And if you guys have any, we're still in that like, got maybe a week or two left of not talking about iPhones before iPhones become a central part of what we have to talk about. If there's anything that you want us to do a deeper dive on, or any topics that you want to hear more about, just let us know in the comments. And with that, we will catch everyone in the next